Welcome to Focused AF. I'm Zach Valenti, and this is my real-life audio log of my ADD adventures of discovering what's the most important thing to focus on. Hey, I'm alive. So sorry to leave you hanging for an extra week. I've been preoccupied with a combination of work and taking care of myself. Got my ass to therapy for the first time since college, and it's amazing. Shout out to Charlotte, a partner of mine, for introducing me to an awesome therapist. My goal is to get to know myself better, and so far, so great. But getting my ass to therapy isn't the only thing that's been on my mind health-wise recently. There's another big one, and this is not something I felt comfortable sharing until now. I believe this is the first time I've shared this publicly on the internet, and according to one study from 2003, 5% of you may be able to relate to my experience of a chronic condition that isn't talked about often. Pruritus ani. What is pruritus ani? Well, one of my favorite podcasts, The Heart, captures it perfectly in this episode.
I have an itch, and it's in my butt, and I've had it for like a really long time. I've had like little light sort of tickly, prickly itches, and then I've had like just that feeling where you just want to like claw so intensely. It's kind of just like run the gamut, like all over the place of all these different types of itches. An itch is kind of excruciating because you're not supposed to itch it. And so having an itch is like having this thing that's there. And I mean, I'm literally just wiggling in my seat right now thinking about it.
Go listen to this episode. It's called Itch. It's gross. It's liberating. It's everything I wanted short of a friggin' cure. I'm gonna put a link in the description. To be more specific, pruritus ani is a common and embarrassing proctological condition, that means butt-related, which can be very difficult to treat. While there's often some additional condition present, say hemorrhoids, there's a whole bunch of folks like me that just have what's called an inappropriate itch, which just itches because it, well, itches. Welcome to my secret life of pain. Thanks to my roommate John and his fiance Shwejing, I had the opportunity to talk to an awesome health coach named Marielle Cajo, who takes a holistic approach to health and well-being. A diagnosis of MS at 23 started Marielle on her journey of healing, which in turn led her to become a healer.
I approach a lot of things in like a realistic way, because like you're sick, you know, it's not the end of the world, because that's how I felt when I got sick. I felt like it was the end of the world. You're like, are you fucking kidding me? I'm 23. Like, how can this happen? And, you know, you kind of feel like your life's over, but it's not, because the body is so powerful that it can heal.
She came by the studio a couple weeks ago, and this is that conversation.
So I guess, as I shared with you, I have a chronic health problem.
Right.
Which is super embarrassing.
Yeah.
And miserable.
Sure.
And unlike things like MS, a close family member of mine was just diagnosed with Parkinson's, like, this is not like a life-threatening condition.
No, but it's still annoying. It's still a problem.
Literally a pain in my ass. And so I'm curious, like, do you have any perspective on this? I know I was shocked to find out that 5% of American men suffer from...
Yeah, it's like 4 to 1 in women, like 4 men out of every 1 woman has it.
Yeah, it's maybe explains why my grandpa could be such an asshole. And I don't know, I like...
May I ask how long you've been experiencing symptoms?
My money's on that somebody in the White House probably has this problem too.
I wouldn't be surprised.
So I first experienced the symptoms when I was in college. And we think then that it was connected to, it actually wasn't this condition. It was connected with a hemorrhoid.
Yeah.
And that cleared up. But the itchiness never went away, and okay. I've literally been through everything you can imagine in terms of testing, from, you know, like skin conditions through like like I did a course of parasitic drugs.
Yeah.
It's been a long.
Wait, did you even have a parasite?
No. No, but it was just in case.
Oh my God.
Yeah. It was just one of those things where okay. I've been desperate to try literally everything.
Sure.
At this point, I've went out and found an illegal source. I have a medical marijuana card in New York State, but it's not legal to yet sell creams and topical solutions.
Right.
But I found some and I'm trying that, and that seems to be doing something.
Oh, it's numbing the nerve. That's why.
Well, I was using the only thing that I'd used previously that actually worked that mm-hmm. they have some studies on. It's the only thing that I found that shows any like efficacy in research is capsaicin cream,
mm-hmm.
Which is basically lathering napalm on the area.
Yeah.
It's the hot thing in hot peppers yep. and it's just miserable.
I'm sure. Is it chronic? Like, is it 24/7?
No.
Or is it throughout the day?
It's throughout the day. It depends. Gotcha. And I haven't kept like a journal to like, you know, sort of like line things up. And there are just so many like variables to track of like, you know, I tried a low acid diet. I, you know, they mm-hmm. took me off of coffee and chocolate and grapefruit and everything good. And
yeah, you know. No, totally. I mean, they're all stimulants. So
yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's one of those things where it's like, I'm not sort of willing to go back to a system that's just going to tell me to rub more steroids on the area because that weakens the skin and does so in a way that it may never heal properly.
No. Yeah,
again.
Totally.
It just seems like an addictive bad solution.
Well, I mean, the problem with steroids is they cause inflammation throughout the whole body. It's like, it's meant for a specific, it's like taking antibiotics for an infection on your foot. You're just like, but my infection's all the way down there. Like, why do I need to send it through my entire body just so it can get to my foot? Like, you know
right.
what I mean? Like,
well, it was topical solutions. But
yeah.
Still.
But they still, like, but that is literally connected to your digestion. So even though it's reversed, it's like, it's going to inflame something else. And you're very close to your prostate, which doesn't help because you don't want to encourage issues down there. That's like, jeez. That would be really bad. So
right, like everything's connected. So it's
well,
like,
that's the thing. That's what I teach people. It's like everything is connected. Like your mind to your gut, there's one nerve that connects it together. And that's why, like when you get anxious, you don't get hungry. Or when you're stressed, sometimes you can overeat because they are really that connected. I mean, they call the gut your second brain. And a lot of times they call it your first brain because every single thing you put in your body, whether it's medication or food or water or whatever, it's information that then goes to your brain to you know, function and to work properly and to make sure your organs are processing like they're supposed to and make sure you're supposed to poop every day, even though some people don't. And, you know, and that's a problem because then something's off and you got to look at that. You have to look at everything. And back in the day when doctors were doctors, they were doctors for the entire body. And now that it's segregated into different categories, it's somewhat hard to really, that I feel like that's why wellness has become so big. It's because we're really trying to understand everything as a whole again, as opposed to separate entities, which they're not. We are one body. Like when you feed a cat and you feed it bad food and it goes diarrhea, you're like, oh, it's the food. But when you do that to yourself, you like don't really think about it and you're just like, how do you not get it's the same, we all work in the same capacities as much as we can. So in regards to your issue, there are a lot of things. I mean, it's just like having digestive issues in general. Like you have to look at it in a broader spectrum and be realistic about like what it is and what it couldn't be. A lot of things in regards to itchiness is related to things that you are putting on your body. So like I was seeing a kinesiologist for a few years and I kept getting symptoms of a UTI, but it wasn't a UTI. And I realized that I was allergic to Tide. So I removed Tide from my diet and the inflammation just went away.
Tide?
Yep. Tide is very toxic. People really forget that. Like everything you Tide, the dishwasher, the laundry detergent.
Wow.
Yeah, it's very toxic.
Were you eating Tide Pods?
Like no, I just, well, you know, you're like washing your underwear in it and
wow.
then you're, and then it's laying on your skin.
Oh,
so
my
that's
God.
How sensitive I was to it. And I mean, I at the time I was what, like 28? So I'm like, I've been using Tide for 28 years. Why is it all, but it can just all of a sudden become an issue.
Holy
it doesn't.
Shit, I use Tide.
Yeah. Try stop using Tide.
Oh my God. What should I use?
I actually also tried to use Seventh Generation. The same thing happened to me. So I can't use Seventh Generation either. I use Mrs. Meyers, which is like still a very like organic brand, I believe. But one of my favorites is this woman, Lauren, I forget her name. She started a brand called the Simply Co. And then she also has a store in Williamsburg. I believe it's on Grand Street, which is all about like using mason jars instead of like buying plastic things and like pretty much reducing your waste altogether. So she invented this laundry soap called the Simply Co. And you can go to her store and buy it in a jar, and then you can also refill it at her store.
Oh, cool.
So I use that. I have to go refill it. That's the only thing. That's why I haven't used it in a while.
Oh, okay. And it's good.
It's really good because it's just like baking soda and like laundry soap and I think like one other thing, and that's it. Because it's it. That's all you need. So when I teach people who have usually topical issues like eczema, what you're dealing with, psoriasis, things like this, you have to pay attention to everything that's in your environment, not just what's going in your body. Like, because that is the only thing you can control is what you consume. But everything that's around you, from your soaps to what you're smelling. We live in a very toxic city, so there are toxins around us that we can't control. So things like that. So like paying attention to like your not just your laundry soaps, but the soaps that are in your shower, the soaps that you're using for dishes.
I use glycerin at this point.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, I use Dr. Bronner's for everything.
Right.
Yeah.
I use that as well.
But it's funny though, because it's like you're doing that, but it's like, but then how did you not get to the laundry? Like how did your mind not?
It never occurred to me.
See, that's what I mean. Yeah. Like a lot of people are like, oh, well, I don't know. Like they're like, I only eat organic, but then they have like Glade plugins, all these other things, like scented candles, and I'm like, yeah, but then you're everything that's around you and you're breathing it in. That's going into your lungs. That's being absorbed. Creams that you're putting on your body are being absorbed like a food because your skin is an organ. So you have to think about that too. So that is one thing I would ask you to change and see if there's an improvement. I don't know if it's going to be like, I'm not a doctor. I can't say it's going to be like tomorrow. It's going to change.
Sure.
And that might not even be it. But I would encourage you to change it no matter what, even if it doesn't make any improvements. Mm-hmm. There are things that you can do. A lot of times people kind of think like it's in your head and because it's become a chronic issue that it stays a chronic issue because you're constantly worrying about it. So I kind of like getting cold sores. Like I get cold sores. I used to get them all the time. I don't get them anymore, but I realized when I was getting them all the time, I was constantly worried about getting them all the time.
Right.
So then I constantly got them all the time because I'm like, well, now I'm encouraging my body to like stay in this negative mental state. Your mindset has a lot of power, more than you probably think, about where your body's going to find healing and how it's going to heal in the long run.
Can we talk about meditation for a minute?
Sure.
What's your meditation story, I guess? How did you come to the practice? What do you find in it?
I came to the practice probably a few years ago. I don't do it every single day because I feel like it's something like I try to reiterate that with people that it's still a practice. So it's like it's something that you have to make a habit, and it's kind of something that slips my mind. Not that I don't feel like I need to meditate. I definitely do. And I don't feel like the need is the right word for that, because needing to do it puts a negative connotation on how you are as a whole. But I use an app because it helps me with guided meditations, and I like the different contexts that you can focus on depending on what you're dealing with. Like the app that I use is called Calm, and it's a woman, and I believe she's even Canadian, so her voice is really nice and like soothing. And then they have like different sounds in the back, so I think what I listen to is like a river or something, which is really nice.
Yeah.
And then she has like stress, sleep, like love towards others, relationships. So you can kind of like realize, okay, meditation isn't just sitting by yourself saying like one word and focus, trying not to think about your thoughts. It's like you can really focus on something that's important to you and kind of like manifest that and think about that and concentrate on that. And that can be a form of meditation. I mean, and meditation can kind of be whatever you want it to be. It doesn't have to be, like I said, sitting by yourself, like in a dark room. It can be with other people. It can be in a park. It can be on your bed. It can. So I try to do it every day. I like that Calm has all different kinds of things to work with, and that they tell you, like, there's like a nice quote at the end, and it's like just really positive. So
that's beautiful.
Yeah. What's your experience?
I feel like there's a couple of like gateway drugs for me. It started with yoga, which somebody dragged me to in like one of the orientation events at Wesleyan when I went to college. I was like, had a crush on somebody, and they were like, come to yoga. I was like, oh, obviously I love yoga. And I actually really enjoyed it. It was a good
time. It's amazing. Yeah.
And I didn't really keep it up as a practice until several years later in my junior year of the summer. I met a graduating senior. We spent that summer building a yoga meetup group in the city.
Cool.
We had like some other plans to make money that just like really didn't pan out. It was like yeah, super sketchy, and this ended up being a lot more fun and invigorating. And that happened to line up with, I'd had some negative side effects with the ADD medication that I was prescribed.
Sure, yeah,
and
totally.
Because of that, unrelated to the yoga group, my mom had recommended that I check out a cognitive behavioral therapist, where he hooked my brain up to a video game and I had to relax to play. And it was this incredible sort of experience of going from feeling like meditation was this load of religious bullshit,
yeah,
to feeling like I was actually going to the gym for my brain.
Wow.
And that was an experience that I wanted to share with as many people as I could. And,
yeah,
and where I started to get the idea for what is now Project Uplift, this
yeah,
insane mental health awareness campaign that lets people lift the world with their mind.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah.
But you know that yoga is essentially like preparing your body to meditate.
Yes. What was cool working with my friend Miles, he had basically just taken like 6 months out in Rishikesh to learn yoga, and had a very different perspective than a lot of the people that I knew that practiced it, that I'd sort of lost interest around, where it was very much like about getting abs or a good butt or whatever.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, it's like sort of calisthenics, just with like
the Instagram of yoga.
Yeah, right. Yeah, like my friend called it yoga porn. Like, you know,
essentially,
like,
yeah.
Can you do the right back, whatever?
There's actually this meme about yoga. It's like, you don't go to yoga to get a good ass. You go to yoga to get your head out of it.
That's beautiful. I love that. That's exactly right.
Which is what it's the point of it. And I feel like people have detached from the meaning of it. And that's, I feel like, why wellness, as much as it's such a big thing right now, people have such a negative connotation towards it, because they're missing the points, to each their own.
The thing that my friend Miles told me that's been a guiding light around all contemplative arts is yoga was minted as a word to capture this idea of union between mind and body.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the thing that did not occur to me when I, you know, checked it out at Wesleyan and like
right,
saw people like,
but because nobody teaches you that,
mats around. Well, that's not what it's about for a lot of people.
Right.
And like the sort of market of like lowercase y yoga.
Yeah.
right. And, yeah, and then there is this actual tradition and practice, and not to say that there's not some mumbo jumbo in that. And I think it's easy to get, if you get too far down the like ancient text rabbit hole, you know, attached to this idea of literally gaining superpowers. Like,
yeah,
that's like a whole other can of worms.
Yeah.
And I think to, you know, to make it about like the physical or the metaphysical benefits, like too much, is to maybe miss the real gold of it.
Yeah.
Which is just to get your head out of your ass, as you said.
Yeah. I mean, just stop worrying about what you look like and focus on healing, and that will be a benefit from it.
Mm. Like, where should people follow you? Do you want people to find you online?
Yeah, I mean, I have a website, which is mkwellness.co. And then you can follow me on Instagram, just because we're all on it, even, no matter what. And I'm happy to be on it. I'm
getting out.
which is mkwellnesscoach. So
great.
But yeah, and then I'm happy to answer any questions if anybody wants to send me a message or email or whatever.
Super cool. Thanks. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. This is great.
It's been a few weeks since we did this interview, and guess what?
changing my soap actually made a difference. Still got the itch, but it's definitely not as bad. My takeaway from this interview is to see the ecosystem in everything. It's so easy to break the world down into tiny little pieces, and then when something doesn't work, focus intensely on the symptom, but miss the cause entirely. Like everything else in the universe, my itchy butt doesn't exist in a vacuum. I guess there's just always a bigger picture. This has been Focused AF. I'm your host, Zach Valenti. Hang out after the credits for Calm AF, your guided mindful moment. You can find out more about Marielle Cejo on her blog at mkwellness.co. Music in this episode is by Andrew Apple Pie. Learn more about Andrew at andrewapplepie.com. If you like this episode, please consider sharing it with someone in your life that matters to you. If you love the show, please consider leaving a top rating and review wherever you listen to podcasts. You can support this show and all my creativity at patreon.com/Zach Valenti. You'll get early access to behind-the-mic blog posts about the making of Focused AF episodes and other exclusive rewards just for my patrons. And last but not least, check out my YouTube channel, youtube.com/Zach Valenti. There's a new video up about my social media break, and I'll be back with Self-Care Sunday Live September 2nd at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard for an hour of how to keep creativity sustainable with self-care. To be automatically subscribed, you can go to zachvalenti.com/YouTube. Now, without further ado, Calm AF, your guided mindful moment for me. This week, sleep. This is best used in bed with the lights out, right when you're ready to fall asleep. Right now, all you need to do is relax. And I'll tell you the story of how relaxation naturally arises as we slow down to find it. Simply breathing. Noticing any tension in the body, let go to your breath. And if you notice your breath, notice where you notice it in the body. Finding any tension in your face as you breathe in, releasing it as you breathe out. Allow any sounds to just drift as you swim deeper in your breath.
Feel the contact of your body against the mattress, dissolving the boundary between the points of pressure. If you notice you're getting distracted in thoughts, simply bring your attention back to the body and the breath. Lose yourself in the breath. If you notice yourself lost in anything other than the breath, simply come back to the physical sensations of the inhale and the exhale. Sleep well, rest well, and I'll see you next time.